For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend, but now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club, and let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give 2 chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me 2 chickens and go, here you go, here are 2 chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters.
None of that.
Yeah, but none of that does any good, but... In developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I am back fresh off the heels of vacation, and
I was expecting a little tan.
I thought I got some sun. I'm definitely like my neck is burned and
fill my neck. My neck.
My back is because I did some fun in the sun activities like
we saw
flight boarding that was cool. That's that thing that you stand on like basically
little water
like
jets.
Yeah, it's water jets that lift you up out of the water and you can spin around and stuff. It's cool.
My dad saw the video and he was like, "Does that boy have a death wish?" Like, yes.
Called you boy.
Does that boy know he's 53?
Yeah, really. He ain't gonna come back from that.
Well, it's funny because I went out like this is my own fault. Like I try to be a good person, like especially in group settings. Okay, so. You pay for this flight boarding excursion from the cruise, and there's 6 people on this thing. Mm-hmm. So no one wants to, he's like, well, who wants to go first? And no one says anything. And so I go, look, I don't want to be that guy. I'm more than happy to go first if no one else is going to, but I don't mind waiting. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, why don't you go? Because no one's done it before, so no one knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't either. So I'm like, okay. So I go out there. And I do it a few times, and I get right up out of the water. Like it was like, oh wow, that was okay. But then, as I start trying to learn how to do it better, I start falling, and I'm just busting my back. My lower back, like right above my butt, was so sore. Oh my gosh!
Because you kept landing there.
Yeah, and you're falling for like 10 feet in the air, and the pow.
And water like accepts you, but it doesn't like.
Yeah.
It's not like hitting a rock, but it's not like hitting a pillow.
And when you land flat, it hurts.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When you don't break the surface right. So anyway, I'm going through that, and so I look at the guy, and I've been out there for like maybe 10, 15 minutes or so, and I know people are waiting, and so I go, hey, why don't we go back in and give somebody else a chance? And he's like, okay, you want to take a break? I said, yeah, let's let somebody else go. So it's like a 3-hour excursion. So I assume that everybody is going to go out, do like a little bit, come back in, go out. And the next guy goes out and he's out there for almost 30 minutes.
Ooh. Excuse
Seems
me?
Wrong.
Right. And then the next person goes out. They're there for almost 30 minutes.
No.
And I'm just waiting. I'm like, what in the world?
That's rude.
So I go and talk to the guy who's operating and I said, when everybody's done going through their time here, can I go back out again? And he's like, oh, yeah, if you want to go back out, it's another $100. And I'm like, wait.
Whoa.
Why?
What? Yeah, that's what I said. I go, wait, what are you talking about?
Paid for the excursion.
Right. Hmm. And he's like, no, everybody gets to go once. I'm like, you guys didn't say that anywhere. Like, nowhere was that communicated or else I would have stayed out. I was trying to be a good person. And
aww.
I thought we were all going to share the 3 hours of time.
3 hour tour.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, no, it doesn't work that way. I'm like, that's not cool, dude.
So wait, how long were you out there?
Like 10 minutes. And so finally, like I'm mad, and they're supposed to take us back to the thing on their shuttle, and like I'm getting nowhere with this guy. Like I expected him to be like customer service and be like,
yeah,
not a problem. Well, yeah, you can go back out or whatever. And so he's just not budging, and I'm like, well, I'm leaving. And he's like, you don't want to ride back? I'm like, no, I don't want to ride back. I'll get a cab. You know, like I was so mad. And then they finished with the last person, and I saw the guy that had taken me out, and he goes up to the bar. To get like a Red Bull or whatever. And I'm like, dude, You know I went really short, right? And he goes, yeah, you didn't use your time. I said, okay, I didn't even know about the time. And I said, I want to go back out. He goes, I'll vouch for you that you didn't use all your time. And so he went back and talked to not this guy, but the owner. And I guess the owner was like, yeah, absolutely. So I got to go back out. And when I went back out, I crushed it. Like, that's when I started doing these dives and everything. And so it ended up good. But I was super frustrated with the guy that if you work in a like a customer service industry, especially tourist industry, you should be going over and above to make people, you know, have a good experience, because then they tell people about you, you know.
Now, question.
Yeah.
To play devil's advocate, was this perhaps said, you just weren't listening because you
not.
Were busy talking?
No, then that's a fair statement. But no, it was not. Like
Did everyone else know about the time restraint?
No. They did not. They found out kind of as I was talking to this guy, and they were hearing me talk about it. And so it was just kind of like, but it ended up working out okay. But I hated that, like, I felt like I was getting a little snippy, you know.
Like being a Karen or something.
Yeah, for what was right, you know. Mm-hmm. And the guy was kind of making me, like, he was giving no ground or being cool at all. And I think that was frustrating to me. It ended up being okay, you know, first and last. But it was just, it was a cool experience, but it was frustrating. So.
Okay, so we have spent probably, 5-10 minutes on something that was negative that happened.
Yeah.
So let's not focus on that one negative thing. Sure. What was the one big positive thing that happened? What was your favorite part?
Boy, I did like the flight boarding, and that I got to go back and do it well. Like, that made, because I didn't want to leave like having fallen a bunch, you know, kind of thing. And because I like success when I try something. I had a great trip. Like, I sailed in America's Cup boat race type thing. We did a race and we got to each play a part in it. I learned a new sport that I'm going to pick up now here in town called pickleball, which is basically like
I'm telling
small
you, it's
tennis.
Very popular because I've played it with some friends of mine. Yeah. Okay. Definitely attracts the older generation.
Yeah, I played against a lady named Betty who was 70. I beat her so bad.
Oh my gosh.
She was really nice, but I beat her.
Yeah. Maybe she let you.
Well, here in town, they're actually, I guess I'm older. I'm 53, but there are a lot of younger or people my age that play too.
Yeah.
So I went down the rabbit hole like I typically do. I started looking for paddles and places to play here in Tennessee. Because what I did like about it was, I grew up playing tennis, and I'm still a good tennis player.
Short shorts and everything.
Absolutely. But like my wife, I can't play tennis with her because she's just not great at it. And this is a thing that if you don't know how to play tennis, you can play pickleball faster and have fun doing it. And so I thought, like, Greg and myself and his wife and my wife, we could actually play pickleball and it would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, because we played ping pong on the thing, though, my wife and I. Uh-huh. And she's like, you have to hit it to me. I'm like, not the point of ping pong or competition. So
you have to hit it to me.
So we kept hitting the ball and I'd go, sweet spot, sweet spot, sweet spot, as I was just hitting it right back to her. And then every once in a while, she'd hit one too hard that I couldn't resist, so I'd be like, sweet spot, sweet spot, sweet spot, kill shot.
Oh my gosh.
And I hit her once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's ping pong. You're gonna break a few
eggs. Yeah. No.
Will Smith did.
Oh.
I wonder if that'll be a meme soon. We got to talk about that
too.
There's
plenty of them on the internet.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a good time, and for me, not being totally relaxed and doing a lot of stuff is fun. Like, that's vacation for me.
Yeah,
so
like, you were
that.
Active, but you weren't active in your job.
No, I didn't take my laptop with me. I didn't get the internet package. I didn't do email till I got back Saturday night, and then I spent a couple hours getting caught up on stuff and you know, figuring out where we're at. But so anyway, all good. So we'll talk about the Oscars a little bit. Lin-Manuel Miranda ended up skipping the Oscars last night, and he wasn't protesting, because now anytime you say someone skipped the Oscars, you're assuming somebody's mad about something.
Yep.
But he actually, his wife tested positive for COVID-19, and so he didn't go, which is kind of a blessing and a curse, I guess, because he was up for an EGOT. Do you know what that is?
EGOT.
Yeah.
No.
I've heard that. I don't know it, though.
Emmy, Oscar, Tony.
Grammy.
And Grammy. Yeah. So, like, if you win all of those awards, one of all of those awards. And so he needed his song from Encanto, not the Bruno song, but the other song, Dos Oruguitas or something.
Spanish song.
And it's a horrible song. He needed that to win.
It's just in Spanish.
It's horrible. And he didn't win. We don't talk about Bruno.
So he didn't miss anything.
Yeah, so technically he didn't miss anything. Had he won, that would have been a bummer. I wonder if they told him, you know,
you're not going to win.
Stay home with your wife. Wink, wink. It's okay. You know, because if he had won it, that would have been a big deal. Because not many people have done that. Let me see. I think it was 16 people have won the EGOT.
That's a very selective club.
Yeah.
But for him, I feel like he's got so much left in the tank. Even though I think some of us have found what he's been doing a little bit repetitive, he's got a lot more life and talent and
songs
that'll
make it.
Here's
what's weird, though. The people that have won the EGOT, some of them, Audrey Hepburn, you think, okay, Whoopi Goldberg has won all of those. I know. Andrew Lloyd Webber, John Legend. Like, what in the world?
But like, Elvis? Is Elvis on that list?
I don't know. I just had those couple, but it's only 16. But yeah, some of them are surprising. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the Oscars was quite the night.
It was quite the night. If you haven't seen it, you need to go and watch the video. So here's what happened. Chris Rock is up on stage and he's being the host, like all award shows have. Okay. He gets up on stage and he makes a joke that is definitely aimed towards Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett. Now, she came in a beautiful gown, right, like all women typically do, and she had a buzzed head. And so she's doing this because she has a medical condition, alopecia, which makes it where you can't grow hair. She's slowly losing her hair, right, is what it is. So she just decided to shave her head. But she shows up like that, and then Chris Rock makes a joke about a G.I. Jane joke,
right,
saying, oh, I can't wait for G.I. Jane 2.
Because Demi Moore shaved her head for that role.
So the camera pans to the couple, and you can see that Jada is livid.
Yeah, not having it. She was not happy about that joke.
The most ferocious eye roll I've ever seen.
And Will Smith is laughing.
Right.
And then the camera goes back to Chris Rock on stage. But somewhere between that cut and that cut, something was said, something was done, and Will Smith casually walks up on stage and open-handedly slaps Chris Rock.
Caught him right across the face, shocked him for sure.
Shocked him.
And there is something really humiliating about being slapped. It's kind of like your grandmother doing that too. Like, you're not worthy of a punch like a man. You're a child. I'm going to slap you. It's like, what just happened?
It was, and the audience was shocked too, because you're typically thinking, oh, this is just part of the gag.
Right.
You know, it's a shtick. They're just playing along. Yeah. But it was not.
When he walked back, Will kind of fixed his jacket very James Bond-esque and walked off. And you could see the look on his face was like, I do this. People are going to have my back. No. So many people were so upset about this because they're like, you've tainted the Oscars, violence, because they're all about love and peace and harmony and everything in the acting community. And then all of a sudden it's like, you just assaulted the dude.
True. But I think he kind of tried to make up for it. Will Smith did, because he later won for Best Actor, I believe.
Yeah, for King Richard, which is a good movie.
And he got up there and he talked about the part that he played, which was Venus and Serena's dad, Richard, and how he fought for his family.
He tried to justify it.
He did. Uh-huh. And he said, love will make you do crazy things.
Right. He's still justifying his behavior.
So, in a way, he did it in the name of love.
That's what we'll call it.
And but, you know, though,
that night, it doesn't matter because Jada was proud of him. Like, Jada was like, you stood up for me, thank you.
And that,
you
too, know? When he got up there to accept his award, he apologized to the Oscars and everyone who was in the audience, but he did not apologize to Chris Rock.
And I don't know if there's history between them two or not. I don't know the relationship.
Well, they did say that he had made a joke back in 2016, I think, that was aimed at Jada Pinkett.
And it was not a big joke. Like, none of them were big shots. No. I've made jokes before where I didn't know the full story, and like it did not land well, you know, like, and so like, did he know she had alopecia? Probably. I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe he just thought she was rocking a shaved head like some actresses do.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know that it's malicious, you know, but it definitely was not received well. What's really interesting, though, and honestly, Like Whoopi Goldberg had a thing where she said something recently, got a 3-day suspension and was right back. She got a pass. So like you very rarely, like everyone wants to cancel everybody. And so it's really interesting that there was even any pushback from this on Will Smith. And I think he probably would be a little surprised. Like I think he probably thought, oh, I can walk through this. I was defending my wife. But that wasn't the narrative from a lot of people that you would think would have his back. Even like TJ Holmes, who covers Good Morning America entertainment stuff too, he was bothered by this. And he was like, you know, you tainted it and you took away a great night from now, other people.
He said it like, this was astronomical.
Looking down,
and life-changing. Yeah. And we shall never return to this.
It was almost like he was going to talk to a counselor. Like he had been slapped. It's like, okay, dude, you need to lighten the heck up a little bit.
I think what would have been better, like you said, well, what if Will Smith had gotten up there and punched him? He could have.
Yeah.
But he slapped him. What would have been better is if Will Smith had been wearing gloves.
Yes.
And he took the glove off and slapped him in the face.
Fantastic.
With the glove.
Yeah. That's old school. Like, she'll drop the glove. That's the gauntlet. You drop the gauntlet and now it's go time. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for Chris Rock in this because he didn't swing back and you're like, because you're so shocked.
Yeah, you
like,
thought, did that just happen?
If you've never been punched before, like out of nowhere.
Have you?
Yes. It's jarring. It catches you by surprise. You're like, I just got hit. And you've got that, you know, sometimes you have that split second to decide, what am I going to do here? Yeah. Or sometimes it's over, you know, and in this case it was over. And like, I'm sure Chris is like, because every guy wants to save their dignity. Like, oh, man, you're lucky. Like, I know people would have grabbed me and helped me back because I'd be all on you.
Yeah.
I think he handled it well. Like, I think that Chris Rock's humorous approach to it was the better course of action.
That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay.
Because what else do you say?
Hey, man, people are going to talk about it. And I think that in comedy, you understand people are going to get bothered and things are going to have an effect, and you roll with it and like, okay, that's, you know, we'll all move on tomorrow as a result. And I think a lot of comedians, because of the people they hang out with, there's not many filters and no one really gets offended. But when they run into everyday people or celebrities or whatever that do get offended, I think they're kind of shocked. Like, I think if you were to go back and dissect this, because at one point too, Rock even goes, it was a G.I. Jane joke, you know, like he's like shocked, like, why is this a problem?
Yeah.
And then that's when Will's like, you keep my wife's name out of your mouth, which is a tough statement. I love that statement, by the way. I've always liked when people say that. I've always wanted to say that. You keep my name out your mouth. It makes you sound tough. But yeah,
I wonder if Chris is going to watch that video again or replay it in his mind and he's going to get angrier and angrier.
Yeah,
because I could see that happening where you're like, how dare you?
Right.
You
Yeah. It'll be interesting. So we'll watch for the next couple of days and see if there's any fallout.
I have the TV on pause because now The View is on. And you know, The View has their own drama.
The View.
It's just ridiculous. But
The View is the worst.
They're about to talk about it and I want to hear what they have to say. Because you know they've got opinions they want to
share.
They
drive me crazy. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, again, they're all so far left wing, except for I think they have one right wing person and maybe one moderate. I forget what the makeup is now. But they, in essence, can't justify it. When you come out against everybody in the world that's ever been violent and stuff, and then this is just your guy and you like him, you can't justify it. You're like, when you paint yourself so right wing, you're hosed, or left wing or right wing. Anytime you paint yourself on the extreme, you're hosed.
Well, and also none of them have anywhere to judge.
Yeah.
You know.
I was out of the news cycle for that whole week when I was on vacation. I knew nothing. You know, like I came back, I talked about this on the show, hoping that Ukraine would be better off and hoping that other things would have changed. It was weird, though. Not being in the news cycle in some ways was actually really nice.
I bet.
Because it showed me more so that what you're shown and what you're fed becomes your reality and becomes the narrative and becomes the thing you're angry about or frustrated by.
I've been telling you this.
I know. And when you're not, the problem is I still, because of what we do for a living, I still have to be somewhat knowledgeable about what's going on. You know, we don't do a lot of heavy, hard news anymore, which is actually kind of nice, but yeah, it definitely makes a difference. It keeps you just a little lighter, you know, because you're not worried about it as much.
Do you remember it was in the news maybe a month ago, there was these two guys that got lost at sea, and they eventually caught up with them and rescued them, and the guy was like, well, it was nice to just be away from COVID for a while. Like, he really didn't have anything bad to say.
Well, it's crazy because COVID was like non-existent on the cruise ship. Like, you had to wear a mask on the airplane, in the airport, in the terminal of the cruise. And the second you walked off the gangway and you crossed into the cruise ship, there was a guy standing there. He goes, sir, you don't need your mask anymore. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. Take it right off. But it's like, COVID doesn't know that, you know, and it could keep moving with me through the hallways. But again, it's like DeSantis got so frustrated about the theater of COVID the other day, and he yelled at these high school kids for wearing a mask, and he was frustrated. He's the governor of Florida. And so it was like, and I get that because I sat there and watched it happen because it's all the illusion of safety, you know, and we're just doing what we've been told to do, and it's not making a difference. There was no difference. We went on this ship with no masks anywhere, and everybody crammed into elevators and no social distancing and walked out fine, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the crazy thing about it is like, then why are you still doing it in airports? Why are you still doing it in other places? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make sense if you have the freedom of these other things. So it was weird, but good. I enjoyed it.
A cleansing breath.
I did come back to one controversy that like was like, oh my goodness, the don't say gay thing in Florida again. Okay, mm-hmm. So basically, what this is Florida. Some people in Florida have said, hey, we don't want curriculum in the classrooms for our kids that is a bunch of gender identity stuff and you know, really, I hate to say the word left-leaning, but more like accepting of, oh, you're 5 years old and you want to be a girl? Fine, if you're a boy. You know, like they're hitting people in school with this stuff versus I think that's the stuff you're supposed to be doing at home. You know, I don't think that's... teach my kid how to read or write. So, like, so that... this has been a big controversy, okay? So then where this got weird was Disney, okay? So the president of Disney didn't come out and say anything against this. Like, he didn't stand up and say, this is wrong or whatever. Because, look, he's running a company. It has nothing to do with that. It's kids in school. Yeah. It has nothing to do with Disney. So a bunch of workers who are LGBTQ, whatever the letters are now, are, like, staging walkouts. Like, they're going to plan a walkout at Disney. And it's like, if I would be like, okay, well, you can do that. You can exercise your right to do that. But you realize I can exercise my right to fire you for not coming to work. It's you make your point, you know. And the whole irony of this situation, the thing that has me bothered by it, it's this vocal minority that gets crazy angry about everything. He did nothing wrong. He didn't come out against who you are. In fact, Disney is a company that is very gay friendly. They extended rights to same-sex couples for healthcare far before other people did. Mm-hmm. So, like, they, by their actions, have shown you that they support you. So much so that religious groups are like, boycott Disney! Like, it's crazy. You cannot win in this world. And so, by him being silent, they view that as being culpable in this. And so now they want to walk out. And it's just like, oh my gosh, man, you got to stop whining about everything or else people will take nothing you say serious. I think it has an exact opposite reaction, and it makes people bristle up or bow up and want to fight you on more things when that happens, you know? So, yeah, coming back to this was just kind of like, oh, see, here's all the news again. And it comes in and you get, you know, all worked up and riled up about it and stuff, because that's what for a week I hadn't heard anything, you know, and it was like, I might want to go back to not hearing anything again because it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to choose to have inner peace. You're not going to find it.
That's crazy. What do you got, Lady Rock?
Some sad news.
No.
Foo Fighters, the drummer, Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah.
He actually passed away at the age of 50.
I saw this when I got back. And the reason I saw it is because Jen Ledger from Skillet had posted a picture, because he's a drummer. She's an amazing drummer as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that Dave Grohl, who is the lead singer. Do you know that you two are the same age?
Me and Dave Grohl?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
I need to see a picture of him to see who's aged better, because he's lived a hard life.
Well, he's got the long hair. And
he was the drummer for Nirvana.
Right.
And it's interesting, when he started Foo Fighters and started frontmanning that, you're like, oh, is this going to be any good? And then they became more successful than Nirvana.
So I found out that Dave and Taylor, they actually met because Taylor was playing drums for Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Foo Fighters were the opening act for her when they were first starting. And so I guess he just loved Dave, loved all the guys in the band so much, and he wanted to be a part of a band, that he left Alanis and went with Foo Fighters.
Nice.
And they ended up being the best of friends, which I think is so sweet. I love that.
I never met Taylor. I met Dave years ago in England, and he was so nice and kind, and he was kind to all the fans and stuff like that. He's kind of like, I think, like the For King and Country guys have gotten so big, but they never forgot where they came from, and they treat their fans really well. Taylor Swift treats her fans really well. I think that's a big key to success, and Grohl was always like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, Taylor did. It had to. Was it drugs?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely. He overdosed. Well, back in 2001, he actually overdosed before.
Yeah.
And he lived through it. He was in a coma for 2 weeks. But
you would think that'd be enough to shake somebody. But man, it's a demon.
You would think, but it just goes to show, like, how close. This is Dave and Taylor talking about Taylor's overdose back in 2001.
In the morning, I got a call that he was on his way to the hospital. I just felt so totally helpless, you know? And Dave's like my best friend. And even more than like a best friend, he's like a brother. If something happened to Dave where he was on the brink of death, I would be losing my mind. And, you know, he was losing his mind.
It is really interesting. If you watch enough documentaries on the rock world and stuff like that, some of these guys and the battles that they have, the iconic or legendary battles they have with drugs, like Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue overdosing, you know, shooting heroin, and then like literally getting out of the hospital and going to shoot up again. You know, it's like, it's crazy. And the amount of people that enable this behavior around them and are getting drugs for them, keeping them in this, helping them manage their drug habits so they can keep shoving them on stage. It's jarring and it's unsettling that people do that.
Well, even at the beginning of this interview that I took that audio from, at the very beginning, Taylor, who was the one that passed away, he said he always felt like he needed to live up to the drummer rock, you know, idea of things. And if you look at that, at that example, you're doing drugs, you're doing all the things that the world tells you you're supposed to do, but then you're going to end up at 50 dead from an overdose. And it's so sad.
Yeah, that was a weird one to come back to. And that's why when I saw Jen Ledger's post, I was like, because I think the world of her. Like, she's an amazing, amazing drummer and just so sweet. And so she had gotten to meet him at some show or something like that. And I'm sure it stepped into her world even more, you know, personally, of like somebody that you look up to when they pass away. You're like, oh, and especially when it's senseless and preventable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you never know where anybody's eternity lands either, you know. This is the weird thing, man. And like, not to be all serious or spiritual, but like, you know, we have vacation Bible schools and all of these things for kids. And if you subscribe to the theory of once saved, always saved, which I do. Like, I think once you believe in Jesus and you accept him, and you can take these massive rabbit trails, these massive spirals, and you can die in a state of unforgiven, you know, an unforgiven state. But that's where grace comes in, and it covers you, you know? And I think it's one of those things that the people running, you know, you look, the people running like VBSs, like Dave, or not Dave, Taylor, like, you don't know what his life was like as a kid. Like, okay, you see where he ended up and how bad things went, but maybe somewhere along the line, some kid invited him to church and he got saved and he ran from years from it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that work that some VBS worker could have done,
well,
you know, years earlier, is like, that's important stuff.
Well, you know? And you also think about, you know, I don't remember his name, but he was in the I Am Second videos, the corn guy.
Oh, yeah. Brian Head Welch.
Yeah, and he was one of those that someone approached him with a track, and he said something about, like, he was about to shoot up, or he had just shot up, and he was praying to God, and he was like, if you're real, then you got to show me.
Yeah.
And now He's a saved guy.
Oh, yeah.
So you
yeah.
just never know.
Yeah. So anyway, do we have some birthdays? Birthdays, kids. Timmy's five today. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Let's see. This is Jacqueline and Mark. They want to wish their son, Kit, a happy first birthday.
Oh, look at that. Happy birthday, Kit. Fortunately, Kit can't hear any of
that
stuff.
That's true. Said he's a beautiful, good-natured little boy who spreads joy, love, and laughter.
Nice.
His favorite things are being outside. His two Aussies, I guess that's like dogs, the dishwasher, and the Wally Show.
Nice.
Yeah. Then we've got a question from Alex. Alex wants to know, is it hard to always be on and funny every day on air, even if you're sick or having a bad day? How do you psych yourself up?
Oh, that is a good question. You know, it's weird. Like, this is the place that I'm, like, happy, even if I'm miserable, you know? Like, and sometimes the misery makes me happy.
Because he likes to make other people miserable.
Yeah. Like this is the place where, like, for me, when I come in as I am. And I can check a lot of stuff at the door. Like, I can be fuming about something else and come in and still do my job. And I'll talk about it off the air in between things or whatever. But, like, I genuinely enjoy this. So it's never like, oh, I've got to put on a fake thing today. Back in mainstream radio, it was a little more cathartic in the sense that if you had a bad day, you just instantly dealt with it on the air. If you had a fight with a boss, you dealt with it there on the air. Oh, it was great.
In some ways, that's healthy, and in some ways, it's not. Sounds like a Will Smith, Chris Rock situation.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying.
I mean, there is parts of that that was nice. You know, here, it's not the same, and so... Yeah, I think this is the better tract of it because you want things to be a little bit more positive or things like that. But if I'm dealing with something, like a lot of times we'll turn it into conversations on the show, and I'll just find a way to nuance it. I mean, we've turned conversations on the show. I remember having a problem with a boss a few years ago, and like I turned it into a conversation and a topic in the show so that I could deal with it. And it was a real negative situation, but then we had other people's perspectives from their situation, and so it turned out it was something that had purpose, and it also helped me kind of work through something, because this is the microphone is like truth serum for me. Like, this is the place where I live my life, good or bad, indifferent. Like, it here you go. You know, ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth, kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't feel like we have to fake it. How about you, Rock?
I would say, for me, I don't just walk in. Like, I feel like for you, Wally, you can always come in at an 11.
Yeah,
like on the excited. Factor. Yeah. With it being 5 a.m., we have dealt with me saying,
like, she has to warm up.
Yeah, I have to warm up. I can't just go and run at full speed.
Right.
So you will start at a 4. You will be talking quietly, and I appreciate that. And once we get on the air, then I can meet you there.
Yeah.
But until then, I don't want to meet you there.
Yeah. You're like my sister. I was never allowed to talk to my sister before 9.
I like her.
Yeah.
That's why breakfast always does help you.
Like, it does. It really does.
It pushes your motor.
Gavin. I would say free food really helps energize me. I have battled it sometimes where it's just like, oh, I just don't want to, you know, get up this early and go. But I had a friend of mine that told me, you know, if you're thankful for your job, you need to treat it like you're thankful. Mm. And so since then, that has really helped me
because
I am thankful for where I'm at. I'm thankful that I have an outlet to just be myself and get paid to do that.
Right.
So I hadn't always had that mentality. I've also had times in the past where I was going through a really difficult time, and it was hard to be that funny, you know, during those times. I think
that was a different situation.
That was a different situation, but chemical and not drugs. Let's make that clear.
Like body chemical, and that was a real serious, honest medical thing. Trying to psych yourself up to be that happy-go-lucky person, that's not healthy either because that's fake. And so trying to balance that
with you was hard. Yeah, but I will say it's kind of like a marriage where if I'm lacking, you step up. If you're lacking, I step up.
Right.
But definitely if we're both on the same page, it's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You're just good at putting things like to the side.
Yeah.
I am not good at putting things to the side. But I think that's the think that's a guy and a girl thing.
Maybe so.
You know, like guys are better at like compartmentalizing things. Whereas with women, everything just runs together.
Because there's things that I've been like, just leave that at the door. Like, we'll deal with that in 4 hours, you know, or whatever. We don't, let it
that's
sit.
Hard. That's yeah, hard.
And, yeah, we're wired differently in that. Because I'm like, well, just come in here, we'll do this, and then we'll deal with that. And it doesn't always work that way. And Gavin's always just happy. He's just calm.
Gavin, bless his heart, when he first came... Mm. That was when I was going through a really difficult time. And I was like, I'm not always this way.
Yeah, I remember you saying stuff like that. And I'm like, she's not really.
Really?
Hey. Yeah.
In the best way possible, I think I'm just here. And this guy is just mellow to the nth degree on a beeline to the weekend.
That's what I'm just trying to get through this week. That was always Zach, who you replaced. His role was the calm,
level-headed
to my passion, like, because and I needed both, like the show to do what it did and to become successful like it did needed me out there taking the arrows and pushing the boundaries and doing all of that stuff, but it also needed balance. And Betty's actually shifted into that role now too, with being that person that sometimes saves me from myself.
Like, that was your first reaction. Right. Let's go with this.
No, let's just, you know what? I know what you just told me to type. I'm not going to fully type that.
Let's harness that energy.
Yeah. Edit.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our first Aftercast back. And man, it's good to be back. And thanks for being potty.